Hello, my brothers and sisters in Christ. Today's message is about a person who is basically giving up on their faith. The circumstances of life have completely confronted and stopped everything they are believing about God and Christ and what it means to be a faithful follower therein, where you hear Him, you walk with Him, and He gets you through. This ministry, 14 years, I've been publicly sharing my testimony and asking people to follow my example as I follow Christ. One of the most remarkable things that I've experienced is over all of those years, I can look back and I can see people who were very, very sincere. People who saw and recognized the Holy Spirit of Jesus Christ living and moving in me, who saw that I was walking with the Jesus Christ of the Bible, who would then recognize that what I was in possession of was not what they were in possession of, who then desired to have this just like I did when I saw it in the lives of the Puritans or the great saints that I have read to you about many times. Inevitably, their desire, their passion, their sincerity, they would begin to listen to the messages, they begin to follow, and some of them follow for a good long time. Some of them fall away immediately after hearing the message saying, you know, you have to obey the Lord. They trade that painful message against their flesh for the easy believism lie that says that all you have to do is believe. So some people fall off as soon as they hear the message, and then some people, just like the parable of the sower, will go on for a time excited and can't wait to see what God's going to do in their life, but then the time of testing and persecution comes and they fall away. Some terrible set of circumstances that contradict their faith. Maybe God was even speaking to them similarly to the way He does me. Perhaps maybe He was leading them and guiding them. They were gung-ho, but something happens and circumstances basically culminate in such a way that it stops them in their tracks and brings everything to a halt, spoils all of their hopes, and they're left often feeling bewildered, confused, and put to shame. And in this instance, today's recording, a gentleman named Rick, if you've read the email, you can see that Rick got to a place where he felt like Jesus had done him wrong, that Jesus led him into a storm and then left the boat with him in it, and Jesus walked home and abandoned him. His response to that is very similar to what I have seen in many, many people over the years in this ministry, and it's really incredible. It's just fascinating for me to see this happen, where Rick's response was not to just throw away Jesus and his hopes for eternal life and say, hey, sign me up, I'll go to hell. Or, you know, to say this Jesus business, he just doesn't even exist and becomes an atheist. That can happen, but it's not often. What I have seen happening is people want to trade the very difficult Christian walk of the striving to enter into the narrow gate, the very difficult, as Jesus said, how hard it is, my children, to enter the kingdom of heaven. They want to trade up that cross-carrying, self-denying, faith-walking, world-hating. They want to trade up and get out of this cross-carrying, self-denying, world-hating, faith-walking Christianity and go to what they call a, quote, safe Western version of Christianity. This is what Rick said in his email. He wanted to leave what I was teaching, this vibrant, living, difficult Christian walk, and go over towards the easy side. It's appealing to the nature. And I've heard this so many times, brothers and sisters. It is a type of falling away. You need to know this. It's a type of falling away. This exact thing happened to Taylor Meitzner, who we've all heard enough about at this point in time. If you've been following the ministry, you know who she is and what she represents and how Satan used her in my ministry. But one thing that stood out about Taylor was she came and found my ministry. She was completely dissatisfied in her Christianity. She saw something in Brother Michael she wanted. She began eagerly, passionately, humbly following my example. And then what happens? When the time of testing came, she began to get knocked on her head by Satan. She ended up being led astray at a young age into a cult. It spun her in a wash machine cycle that had her so dizzy she no longer knew which way was up. She testifies with her own words that she no longer even knows what is of God and what is of Satan. She saw only darkness and began to doubt God and Christianity altogether. Her reply to me in an audio message a few years later, after that happened, was to tell me that they have found and are moving to a much simpler Christianity. And she said it twice.
The biggest update I have for you is, Michael, we have returned to a much simpler faith, like a faith that is really founded on theology and the Word of God. And
that's a recording she made to me on January 12th, 2020, just a little short of 2 years before she's going to put out her Why I Stopped Following Michael Criswell video. So again, I want to call your attention to this. In this message, she's saying that they're returning to a much simpler, theologically based, Bible-based faith. She goes on in the recording to speak about historical theology, studying, keeping it simple. She mentions John MacArthur, etc., that God's given her all this discernment. She can now see the schemes of the enemy, and that God has raised her up for what she knows to be a wide purpose.
So he has definitely delivered me for a very wide-scale purpose, and I'm able to very clearly indicate deception in other areas.
So the question becomes, what is now the fruit of that new direction that she took, where she rejected my Christianity and traded it for this theologically sound, Bible-based, historically accurate Christianity, as if mine is not entirely based in the Bible, as if mine's not theologically correct, but let's just go with what she's saying at that point. What is now the fruit of that, since a tree is recognized by its fruit? 5 years later, what has her simpler faith yielded for her? If you haven't had a chance to see the video, go to our search tab on the website, type in Taylor. It'll probably come up, or you can type in Why I Stopped Following Michael Criswell and Jesus? Watch the video. There's a different version of the video on our website than on YouTube. The first 9 minutes or so is much better, makes it much more clear in the video. But if you notice in that video, what do we see as the result of this much simpler faith that she took upon? We see videos of her acting completely foolish, bringing disgrace and shame upon herself. We see her teaching, in fact, many videos I didn't even put in, on her website, and she quotes men who were godless. It's all about human wisdom, human philosophies. There is not one mention of Jesus Christ, not one mention of the Bible, not one mention of faith anywhere on her website at the time, or her YouTube channel at the time that I made this video. It's as if Jesus has left the building.
Returning to a simpler faith, like I mentioned earlier.
My brothers and sisters, I can think of no more of a vibrant example to help you understand how dangerous it can be if you begin to be tempted to return to what someone might call a much safer or a much simpler faith. Anyone who puts his hand to the plow and turns and looks back is not fit for service in the kingdom of God. This is a warning that we should all take very seriously. I have family members, I have friends, I probably have hundreds of examples like this in my inbox that I could share with you of people who followed with me for a time, but eventually as the testing or the persecution comes, they fall away. And brothers and sisters, one of the biggest reasons why is because they never had the same faith to begin with. It's so important to remember that on our website, on the Examine Your Faith page, under the top, you can select teaching, and then there's a page that we have called Examine Your Faith. You can see that I've pointed out the Bible shows us very quickly, I found, 24 different kinds of faith. Literally, the Bible is connecting these to faith, and they are counterfeit faiths. They are faiths that, albeit the person calls it faith, although it may seem and look like faith and sound like faith and walk like faith, the Bible says these are counterfeits. And James asks, can such a faith save you? One of the biggest problems in Christianity today is an epidemic of false faith. People can step into the story of Christianity. People can accept Christianity as a belief system. People can buy into the idea that Jesus Christ was a historical figure, that he came, that he died, that he rose again, that he sits at the right hand of the Father, that he died for our sins, and that by my believing in him, I can be saved, forgiven, justified, and prepared to have eternal life in Christ. That's a story, and no different than Hindus enter into the story of Hinduism, or Buddhists enter into the story of the Buddha, or Catholics enter into the story of Constantine, or Mormons enter into the story of Joseph Smith. You can enter into the Christian story. You can accept the Christian story. You can read the Christian story. You can enjoy the Christian story. You can build buildings around the Christian story. You can invite many people to come who also believe in the Christian story. You can give money to the Christian story. You can talk about the Christian story. You can make t-shirts and hats and cups, and you can make music about the Christian story, and you can do all things Christian story and never actually enter into the kingdom that the story is pointing you to. You can actually believe the story and miss the faith of the story. Or you can enter into the story and misinterpret the story, only understand parts of the story, and you can actually walk away with a handicapped, incomplete, false, counterfeit faith of the story. And if you do not have the John 3:27 faith, where John the Baptist said, a man can only receive that which is given him from heaven. If you do not receive what Peter says, a faith as precious as ours, there is a faith that he said they had received, which was as precious as ours. Paul says, you didn't receive this gospel just in word only, but it came to you in power. That was evidence of a true faith. The kingdom of God not being a matter of words and talk, but of power. Brothers and sisters, so many people following this ministry over the years have come to follow my example. They believe in the same story I believe in, but they have yet to come into possession of the key of the true God-given, heaven-ordained faith that unlocks the doors to the kingdom that the story they believe in points to. Remember, Jesus Christ said in John 3:3-8 of Nicodemus, a God-fearing man who knew the law of Moses probably better than any of us does. He lived it. He saw Jesus. He recognized and believed that Jesus was a teacher come from God. And what does Jesus tell him? He says, no man can see and no man can enter the kingdom of God unless he is born again. You can enter into the belief system. Brothers and sisters, you can enter into the story of Christianity. You've got the Bible. You can read it. You can believe it. So can the man that you will see perhaps on the next documentary film that you watch about the Bible and the historical facts of Judaism or the amazing archaeological finds that they have in Israel. And there will be people in there who are having master's degrees in the Bible, in theology, and they know that Bible better than I do. They know the history better than I do. And although they have accepted the story, and although they know the story, these are not people who have entered into the kingdom in the story. It is so important for you to see that in a situation like a Rick or like a Taylor or like any number of other people that could be named, they tried to emulate my faith, believing in the same story, but did not actually have the gift of faith that could move them from the story into the kingdom. It's when you step into the kingdom, when you enter into the kingdom of God, that you begin to have the experience of Christianity. Jesus Christ and the Father begin to manifest Himself to you, John 14:21-23. You begin to hear His voice, John 8:47. You begin to know God and His one and only Son, who leads you to eternal life, John 17, the prayer of Jesus Christ. You begin to find out that the teaching came from God, John 7:17. That's where you move from reading about Christianity, reading about God, reading about Jesus Christ, reading about faith, to actually stepping into and knowing God and knowing Jesus and having faith and experiencing the kingdom of God. If you walk beside me and you can follow all of my examples, you can believe all the teachings of Jesus Christ out of my mouth, you can see all the evidence and the providence, and you can turn around and try to emulate it, when a circumstance comes that's bigger than your faith, you will fail if it is not the kingdom of God faith. Brothers and sisters, if I could get a do-over on my whole ministry, I would start with this story. Millions and millions, multiplied hundreds of millions, have entered into the story of Christianity. Oh, and many different stories about Christianity, call them denominations, but multiplied hundreds of millions enter into the story. But there is a kingdom inside that story that Jesus Christ is pointing to. We would ask ourselves this: have I entered and stepped from the story into the kingdom? Have I moved from the belief system that I've accepted about Jesus into the living, breathing kingdom of which He is King over, Lord over, the real, living, breathing Lord? Brothers and sisters, this is something that I want to do more teaching on down the road, but for now, I want to let you know that it is a remarkable thing for me to see stories like Rick, stories like Taylor, stories like family members and friends, where they tried to emulate my faith without actually having the heavenly gift of faith. Theirs was a false faith, a counterfeit faith. If you find yourself wanting to follow this ministry, wanting to follow my example of faith, of waiting on God, of hearing God, of following God, of obeying God, of seeing God's answered prayers and having a fruitful ministry perhaps for God, please make certain that you have the actual faith that came from God, not the intellectual reasoning ability to justify that the story is real and enter into a belief system about the story, but that you've been given a gift from on high, John 3:27. You've received the faith as precious as mine that will enable you to engage with the kingdom of God, that will enable you to obey, that will enable you to overcome anything Satan brings against you, such that no weapon formed against you shall prosper. But brothers and sisters, against Christians, weapons prosper all the time. Those who believe the story. The multiplied destruction of Satan in so-called Christendom is incalculable amongst those who have an intellectual belief of Christianity, but do not have a faith that overcomes. They are not more than a conqueror in Christ. You cannot be more than a conqueror in Christ. You cannot say, no weapon formed against me shall prosper. You cannot say, if God be for me, who can be against me, unless you actually have the faith. There is nothing extraordinary about me. There's nothing extraordinary about my wife. There's nothing extraordinary about a brother Yun. There's nothing extraordinary about George Mueller. What's extraordinary is the gift of faith and the grace of Jesus Christ at work in them. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter your talents. It doesn't matter what you came equipped with or not. It is a gift of faith, the Spirit's work in you that enables you to walk and live in the kingdom of God. So many people find a wonderful example of faith and try to follow it with a faith that is dead, and ultimately they will come in to destruction. You've heard me say for years, a man tried to warn me from living like this by using an example he knew of an employee he had who had read George Mueller's autobiography and who set out attempting to live like George Mueller, and his life was destroyed. There are so many stories of this that I can't even begin to imagine, especially in the false charismatic churches where people are even emulating a faith that's not only real, but it's a counterfeit faith. It's a counterfeit kingdom. And they go out and they begin to emulate it and their life falls apart. You can be destroyed. This man who had attempted to follow George Mueller had an honorable, admirable desire, but he had no abilities. He didn't have the true faith. It's only when you have the true faith. In fact, even George Mueller, at one point in time in his book, speaking of a miraculous healing he received, he said, please do not ever attempt to do this unless you actually have my faith. I've tried to warn a few people about that over the years. Brothers and sisters, if you enjoy seeing the adventure of faith that you may see displayed in some of your favorite heroes of the faith, and you want to emulate them, that's a good thing to want to do. But please make certain that you have indeed received from on high the gift of faith that will allow you to step beyond the belief system, beyond Christianity, beyond just the Bible. Remember, the Bible is a means to an end. The Bible is not the end. The Bible is a key, just like faith. It is not, or you could think of it as a door, but you must step through the door into the kingdom. There is a living God and a living spirit and a living Christ, the other side of that Bible, that you must enter through into, called the kingdom of God. This is why Jesus spoke so much about entering the kingdom of God. Now, I want to end with some good news. This brother, Rick, in this message, I don't know much about what's happened in his life, but I did see recently a message. I believe it might have been a comment under a video that he testified to having received this recording you're about to hear. He said, I remember all those years ago, you told me, don't give up, don't quit, keep going. And he didn't. He listened to what I told him in this message and he kept going. He persevered. And I trust and hope that he found a true living, breathing faith in Jesus Christ. Sometimes we just need a word to keep us going, even if we have real faith. Our real faith can be tested to the max. But so often, because of what's being preached out there today in the name of Jesus Christ, it's producing after its own kind, and a false gospel cannot produce an authentic faith. It's so important to remember that. If the gospel message that you've been preached, if the YouTube videos you've listened to are not authentic, if it's not the true Spirit of God, if it's not the true Word of God, if it's not the true gospel, it's very, very unlikely that you will have in you something authentic. Please keep that in mind. And please, if you're going through a difficult time right now, please do not give up. Do not think that you can go to some safe Western version of Christianity or some, quote, simpler way. No, my brothers and sisters, you can only find that in the teachings of men, on a blog, on a website, on a YouTube video, from the pulpit of a man. You cannot find that in the teaching of Jesus Christ. Please hear me out. If you are somebody who is struggling, if you're getting frustrated with God, ask him today, Lord, show me, am I in possession of the heavenly gift of a true saving faith? And Lord, if I'm in possession of it, please give me the grace to keep going. Help me to go far beyond my tests. Help me to go far beyond the difficulties, the sufferings, the obstacles. Help me to become more than a conqueror in Christ Jesus. Help me, God, to keep going, to not shrink back, that I might be an overcomer, that I might be faithful even to the point of death, so that I might then receive the crown of life. Help me, Jesus. Help me. Don't shrink back, brothers and sisters. The thief who comes to steal, kill, and destroy, if you have a false faith, you have no chance. He will kill your faith and you will have to be like a tailor, or like what Rick was for that moment in that email, saying, man, I'm out. I want to step out. I want to go to this simpler, safe faith. It doesn't exist. You're returning to a counterfeit. You're deluding yourself. It's a complete denial and deception of the Bible. And you are deceiving yourself in thinking that you can somehow or another put your hands to the plow, turn and look back to something simpler, the good old days, and still be fit for service in the kingdom of God. May God bless you as you listen. Hello, good morning, Rick. This is Michael Criswell. My friend, I see your text message, or rather your email, and I just feel compassion for you. And I know what that feels like, brother. I've been in this place. It sounds like you're where I was at about 10 years ago, where I was so just exhausted, ready to give up on what I was calling Christianity. And I really started to realize that I had been lied to from the pulpit about what it meant to be a Christian and what my responsibilities were. And I began to realize that my heart was not lining up with what I saw was the Christian experience in the new covenant. I didn't have that peace that I'm always told I'm supposed to have as a Christ follower. This also happened when I had the gym collapse all the way back in 2002, where I thought for sure that I was, you know, a beloved child of God, going to church and had a, you know, Christian focus in my life and doing Bible studies. And here I had started a ministry. And unfortunately, when that collapsed, when God was pleased to take it away from me, it brought me to the brutal reality that everything I had believed about God, the devil, life, success, business, money, faith, it was all wrong. And I had believed incorrectly. And so as a result, I was having a very, very frustrating experience as a Christian. So, brother, I want to tell you to not give up. Don't tap out. Don't give up. Step up. It's time to change your approach. I have mentioned this in so many of my recordings, and so there's going to be very little that I can say to you that I haven't already said dozens of times throughout some 350 messages out there between my website and Relentless Heart, which I really encourage you to go keep listening. I don't know how long ago you found the ministry, but brother, I tell you, God is not a God of favorites. He simply answers and draws near to those who call upon him in truth. And that's what the word says. I think it's in Psalm 145. It says the Lord is near to those who call upon him, to those who call upon him in truth. And so one of the big things the Lord has had me share with people is to understand that in order to find God's help, in order to find his peace, in order to find his presence, in order to find his hope, brother, you have to approach him on his terms. You really do. This isn't something that we're taught, and we're always taught, come just as you are. Yes, for the forgiveness of sins, the moment you can recognize that you're a dirty, rotten sinner doomed to an eternity of hell, and that Jesus Christ came as a savior, poured out his blood, died on that cross, was resurrected 3 days later to prove it all, and that he is the substitutionary atonement for your sins and pays your debt in full. Yes, in that moment, you can come just as you are and receive forgiveness. But if you, that's just like saying, okay, I'm going to get to step up at bat. I'm on the team. I get to go to home plate and prepare to swing. Now comes getting involved in the game and actually living the Christian life. And to do so, you have to do so in accordance with his words. So, my friend, I tell you, the best thing you could do would be to go take the John 7:17 challenge, man. Trust me on this. There, I have received literally, we got to be approaching 50,000 emails. Maybe it's more. I mean, I really don't know, but it is, I have received thousands and thousands of emails, and I've tried to read or skim read almost every one of them. You know, I mean, I haven't been able to all of them, but I try to at least skim read to see if this is one the Lord would have me reply to. And I am unable to reply to very many right now, which leads me to believe the Lord really is after you because he moved me to get up. I have a lot of things going on, a lot of emails and a lot of stuff I'm studying and working on, work to do. And the Lord moved me to make this message for you. But thousands of people around the world have testified that they took the John 7:17 challenge and it just, God radically changed their mind and their heart. Now here comes Mr. Thomas. If you've seen in the videos, you know, he comes over and says hi to me every morning when I'm making recordings or in prayer time. And I got to give him a little bit of loving. But my friend, I cannot urge you enough to go to the John 7:17 challenge. Literally, I wish I could share the testimonies from people, but it would probably sound like I'm boasting about myself if I did. And the Lord is the one who did this. But that is what I wrote. It is the words of Jesus. And what it is it is designed to help people understand what are the obstacles that are standing in the way of a fruitful relationship and a happy relationship with Jesus Christ. And what did Jesus Christ teach that we are to do as followers of Christ? And what are the seven things that he promised to all followers of Jesus Christ? This life to the full in John 10:10. Man, I promise you, it's available. God is not a God of favorites. And perhaps, again, rather than giving up, you step up and you humble yourself before the Lord and you say, Father, I really want help to live this life. I really want to live it. Because listen, there is no such thing as this safe Christianity that you're calling it. It doesn't exist, man. Jesus said, if anyone tries to save his life, he will lose it. And that's essentially what you're doing, is trying to save and preserve your life by going to what you're calling a safe Christianity. There's nothing safe about it. Jesus said, no servant is greater than his master. If the world hated me, they'll hate you. If they persecute me, they'll persecute you. If Jesus had to suffer, we have to suffer. You know, so there's this idea that you can have a safer version of Christianity, brother. It just doesn't exist. I'm just going to tell you the truth. You know, you get to choose on if you truly want to give up on God. And many people do. I mean, Luke 8:13 is written in there, and Luke 8:12 for a reason. The seed that falls on the rocks, that people believe for a while, but when the time of testing and persecution comes, they quickly fall away. Now, Luke 8:13, there's a seed that received it with joy, but then as the worries of life go on and the pursuit of wealth and the deceitfulness of wealth and the pursuit of other things choke it off, making it unfruitful, they don't mature. So it's written in the Word of God that these things can happen, but also written in the Word of God right there in that same passage is, if anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. If you have ears to hear, Rick, you don't have to quit. You can quit in your own effort. You can quit on what you're currently calling Christianity. You can quit on your own self-striving, and you can humble yourself. You're really, by going down, you're stepping up. Humble yourself before the Lord and say, God, I really want to have an opportunity to do this right. I really want to find you in accordance with your word. Man, I'm living proof. I'm living the dream life. I mean, Satan hates my guts. I get attacked. I suffer like very few people. I mean, honestly, where can you go and find another YouTube channel where people suffer as consistently and as long as I do? I mean, God has been pleased to showcase me as an example. And yet, no matter what God gives, no matter what God takes away, no matter what Satan, you know, hits me with in the gut, I've gotten to this place where I trust the Almighty Sovereign God of the universe, that he's got my good in mind. And no matter what happens, he is good and he's loving and he's in control. And man, I'm telling you, the faith that I have, the ability after all I've been through to be able to still care about other people and help other people and serve other people, it only comes from Jesus Christ. And I'm living proof, man. I was weak. I was ignorant. I messed up. That's why my autobiography is called The Astonishing Grace to the Chief of All Fools, because of how I lived my life. You know, 19 years calling myself a Christ follower and living totally for the world. You're not going to find any safe Christianity, brother. You're not going to find it. It doesn't exist. If anyone hates his life in this world, he will keep it for eternal life. If you love your life in this world, you will lose it. Anyone who does not come after me and deny himself and take up his cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. A disciple is a student, a follower. Jesus commanded the disciples, the first apostles, disciples who became apostles, to go make disciples of all the nations. That's you. That's me. Disciples obey the teachings of Jesus Christ. And so, my friend, the John 7:17 challenge is about helping you basically transition from myselfianity or churchianity over to true Christianity, where you begin to learn how to abide in the Lord. You're baptized in this Holy Spirit, and he begins to live the Christian life through you. It's an exchanged life. It's no longer you trying to live the Christian life. You have a role to play, but it's not powerless as it is now. Right now, what you have is powerless. You're defeated. You're discouraged. You're disillusioned. Man, I've talked about this for years. You are the kind of person that I've talked about. The Christians who are sitting in the church, going through the motions, who have nothing but a form of godliness, denying its power. That was me for 19 years, man. That's why I can preach this with such conviction. For 19 years, and now I have the power and presence of God. Now every day I get up, and man, and that word of God just comes alive in my heart, and I can't wait to get out here and pray, which as soon as I'm done, I'm going to go spend some time in prayer with the Lord, and I'll pray for you. Brother, don't give up. Don't give up, man. It's time for you to give up on you and give up on your church, whatever they've told you, that place they call the church that is not the church. The church is those who are in Christ, spirit-filled, called out from the world. That's all church means is called out, those who are called out. So whatever you've been taught, whatever you've been told, give up on all that stuff. Give up on your efforts and give God an opportunity. And to give God the chance is the only path to life. And that means that you have to set down your efforts. I know it sounds confusing because aren't I supposed to do it? Aren't I supposed to be? Yeah. But you start with going back through the teachings of Christ as a child, humbling yourself. Matthew 18:3-4, as a child, lest you not enter the kingdom of God and lest you not see the kingdom of heaven. So you have to humble yourself before the Lord and go to his words. Go take the John 7:17 challenge. If you had, you wouldn't be sending me this email. I'm telling you, I have never received an email in all these years from somebody who took the John 7:17 challenge, who then wrote me an email like you, because these are the words of Christ. They're not my words. These are the promises of God. They're not my promises and convictions. I'm just testifying because I've been with him. I am with him, and I can tell you he's faithful. So my friend, don't give up, man. It's easy to give up. Anybody can quit. I mean, millions of people are doing it. The great apostasy is happening before our eyes. People are quitting on Jesus. And if they're not quitting on Jesus, they're quitting on the true Jesus and trading in the true Jesus for a fake Jesus, a fake spirit, and a fake gospel. An easy gospel, easy Christianity. It doesn't exist, man. Safe Christianity. It doesn't exist. Quit fooling yourself. I'm just going to shoot you straight, Rick. I'll tell you the honest to truth. God will have more respect for you if you just give up on him totally, call yourself an atheist, and go eat and drink and be merry and throw yourself headlong into sin, than if you try to sit in church, if you try to sit on that Bible, if you try to sit and listen to YouTube videos, if you try to call yourself a Christian and you try something that even calls itself after his name. God will have more respect for you if you just give it all up and walk away completely. Don't settle for this thing called safe. Jesus Christ said, "How I wish you were either hot or cold." Hot or cold. But because you are neither, because you are lukewarm, he says he's going to spit you out of his mouth. That's what safe Christianity is. Lukewarm. Hey, we got our free fire insurance, and now we don't have to do anything. We don't have to take up our cross and deny ourselves. We don't have to be poor in spirit. We don't have to humble ourselves. We don't have to worry about persecution. We don't have to love others. We don't have to love God to the point of hurting ourselves. We don't have to do God's will. We don't have to suffer and lose our life to find it. We don't have to take up our cross and deny ourselves every single day. That Christianity doesn't exist, man. That's the brutal reality you need to know. That Christianity does not exist. So don't waste your time. Either go through the teachings of Christ and do what he said, or give up and no longer take the name of Jesus Christ upon your lips. That's what I say. Don't take his name on your lips. Don't try to take his faith for your religion. Just throw it all out and go be one of the devil's best and live it up and get yours while you're in this life. And then you'll have a whole memory for eternity in hell, eternally separated from God, of what you missed out because you thought it was easier to just quit and go downstream with everybody else. I'm shooting you straight. There's no respect for that, man. I honestly, there's no dignity in that. Don't do that, man. Don't do that. I don't know how much else to say. Okay. Go do what God asks. John 7:17 and 7:16, Jesus says in verse 16, he says, "The words you hear me speak are not my own. They belong to him who sent me." So he's talking about his teachings. And then he says, if anyone chooses to do God's will, which is to put these teachings that he just said are not his, but belong to God, into practice, he says that person will find out whether my teachings come from God or I just speak on my own. Meaning this person's going to have some sort of an experience to know that what they've just heard comes from the mouth of God. You will know too. And you can have a power to live Christ. You just have to get to this place where you have the humility to know that you cannot do the Christian life. You're in the perfect place to start over with God. You really are. Rick, you're in the perfect place to give up on you rather than giving up on Christ. And you give up and you say, "Lord, I tried. I'm miserable. I failed. I cannot do this." And man, once you say that to God when nobody else is around, now God can work with that. He can work with that. I failed. I'm miserable. I can't do this. Lord God, help me. All who call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ shall be saved. God gives grace to the humble, but he opposes the proud. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven. Poor in spirit. I can't do it on my own. I don't have self-sufficiency. God, I need help. I'm not strong enough to do this. I can't be a Christian apart from you. Hello, that's what Christianity is. It's Christ in you, not you for Christ. It's Christ in you. It's an exchanged life. You see, this is what's so hard for people to understand, because we're taught you just go sit in church and learn how to be a Christian. No, you don't. You go sit in church and you learn how to be a deadbeat these days. You learn how to be a lukewarm half heart. You learn how to be a form of godliness without its power. And the word of God, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 5 says, for me to have nothing to do with those people. That's what it says. Have nothing to do with them. So give up on yourself, give up on your strength, humble yourself before God, cry out to him, have faith and believe that he can do it. Trust in the Lord God, that he can do what he commands of you to do. And then have the patience. So it always comes down to humility, faith, and patience. Humility to know you can't, the faith to believe he can, and the patience to wait until he does. And in the meantime, you go after that word, you get in those teachings, you will be amazed if you'll do what I'm telling you. Thousands of people have done what I'm telling them to do. Thousands of people have followed my example, and thousands of people can testify the words of God are real. The words of God are true. Jesus Christ can have a living, breathing relationship with him. Okay? Brother, God bless you and keep you in Jesus' name. I hope you'll do the right thing, man. Bye-bye.